Thanks for taking time to join us for this podcast coming from Portland Christian Center, located in Portland, Oregon. In a moment, you will be listening to Ray Noah, lead pastor here at the center. This podcast features the second of two messages for this Christmas season. The key Bible reference comes from the book of Matthew, chapter 1, verse 21. Now here's Ray teaching on Christmas, It's a Miracle.
You know, if you were to ask the average person, of course, that's nobody in this room because you're all far above average, right? Turn to somebody and say, you're not average. You're way above that. But if you were to ask the average person, people beyond this room, the people from last night's service, if you were to say to them, what is Christmas all about? I suspect that you'd get a variety of answers. Some people would say, well, it's about family traditions and getting together with friends. Others would say, no, it's about giving. Christmas is all about giving. Some people would say, you know, it's about the trees and the ornaments and the decorations and all of the sights and the sounds of the season. That's what Christmas is about. And then there would be those that would say, it's about Santa Claus and excited children. We had a few of those in here this morning. And opening gifts and the presents and all of that. That's what it's all about. There would be a few people who would say, no, Christmas, it's about last-minute shopping and no parking. And long lines and rude people. Bah, humbug. I can't wait till it's over. Some people would say that's what Christmas means to me. But the real Christmas story, mostly missed, I think, in the holiday fever. We get so caught up in all of our cultural trappings of what Christmas is. The real Christmas story has to be the miracle of Christ's birth. The miracle of Christ's birth. Miracles, really, on multiple levels. Many miracles when you encounter this story. I mean, just think about the literal, physical, flesh and blood birth of Jesus. Just think about his literal birth. What a miracle that was. If as a parent you've ever watched the birth of your own child, you know what I mean. It's just a miracle, isn't it? I mean, the baby is born. The cord is cut, the airway is cleared, the doctor gives a kindly swat on the backside, and the baby lets out a cry, announcing to the entire world that they have arrived, and they're not real happy about what the doctor just did. And every parent just looks at that baby, and they say, wow, it's a miracle. Did you do that with your child? Some of you said, no, I tried to give it back. But no, you look at it and go, it's a miracle. It's a miracle. A new life has begun. I bet when the newborn Jesus was handed to Mary for the very first time, I bet she held him and she said, wow, such a miracle. It's a miracle. A new life has begun. It's a miracle. It's also a miracle that Mary is a virgin. Mary is just a young lady. She is not yet married to Joseph. And the angel shows up and says, Mary, you're going to have a baby. And Mary's thinking, what? You're going to have a baby. And not only is it going to be a baby, this baby is going to be the Savior of the world, the Messiah of Israel. You see, this baby was not going to be the product of any human means. This was going to be by the Holy Spirit. And it's a miracle that for the first time, the only time, the last time in human history, there is such a thing as an immaculate conception. That this will be the only virgin birth in the history of humanity. It's a miracle. It's also a miracle too, isn't it, that Joseph believed Mary's story? Can you imagine the first time she told him? It's a miracle that he believes her because the Holy Spirit, through an angelic visitor, had prepared Joseph as well. And then another miracle, in a long list of miracles that accompany the Christmas story, the original Christmas story, takes place. Joseph continues to love and to cherish Mary and the child. It's a miracle story. And there's so many miracles that we could talk about. We don't have time to talk about this morning. The hundreds of biblical prophecies, Old Testament prophecies that were fulfilled just to bring Jesus to earth. Think of the prophecy that the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem, but Mary and Joseph don't live in Bethlehem, they live in Nazareth. And so there's the miracle of the census that Caesar ordered that brought Mary in the last days of her ninth month of pregnancy, the arduous journey from Nazareth to Bethlehem to fulfill the prophecy that Jesus would be born there. Think of the miracle of the star in the sky. Think of the miracle of the magi, the kings, the wise men from the east that travel all of that way to see Jesus. Think of the shepherds in the field that the angels show up and announce the birth of the Messiah. So many miracles attend this story. But the greatest miracle of all, the greatest miracle, is that this tiny, vulnerable baby, think about this, is God himself entering human existence. It's a miracle. God himself enters our humanity. That the uncontainable infinite should allow himself to be contained, would allow himself to become finite, that he would become human, that he would want to become one of us. Huh. What a miracle. You know, the gifts and the gatherings of family and the great traditions, you know, all of those are fine. I enjoy those as you do as well. But it's this miracle birth of God becoming man that should cause us in this Christmas moment to pause and to bow in wonder and awe and praise and gratitude for the miracle of Christ's birth. God became one of us so he could be with us. You heard the Advent reading. The scripture says, and his name will be called Emmanuel, which means what? God with us. His name will be called Emmanuel. And he became one of us, not only to be with us, but so that we could be with him. The other scripture that was read from Galatians, I love this. This is actually a Christmas verse in Galatians where Paul says, in the fullness of time, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, to redeem those under sin, so that he could adopt us, so that God could adopt us as his very own children. God gave his only son so that he could have many sons and many daughters. You and me, we could become the children of God. It's a miracle. It's a miracle. And the ongoing Christmas story is that miracles didn't stop with the incarnation. Miracles didn't stop just with Bethlehem. Miracles still happen. Christmas miracles still happen. I want you to hear this. If there's a message that I want you to take from this Christmas Day service, it's this. That God is just as powerful, and Emmanuel is just as present, and miracles are just as possible for you right now as the day Jesus was born. This miracle story that you read in Scripture, that we rehearse every year at this time, those miracles that brought that into being are just as possible for you and me this morning. Christmas miracles still happen. So let me ask you this. Do you need a miracle today? Do you need a miracle in your life? Do you need a miracle of healing, a physical healing in your body? Literally, you need a miracle. Maybe you know somebody. Somebody mentioned before the service of a relative or a friend of theirs that needed a real miracle of healing in their body. Maybe you know someone. Maybe it's a loved one or a friend that you know. Man, they need a miracle. They need God to show up. They need God to come through. Maybe for you, it's a crumbling marriage that needs to be restored. And it will take a miracle for that to happen. And you need that miracle. Maybe it's a family that is fractured. And for that to be reconciled, it's going to take a miracle. Maybe it's a financial breakthrough. In this day and age, a lot of people are hurting financially and they need a financial breakthrough in their life. Or maybe your miracle is that you need a sin to be forgiven. Or you need a past to be forgotten. Or you need to have a sense that dream that you once had that was crushed, that future that you once, once hoped for, that those hopes have dissipated, would be restored. Some of you need a miracle just to know that, you know, that God is still looking out for you. You come to Christmas time and it becomes a bit of a difficult time for you because it reminds you of what you don't have, what you once longed for that never materialized. And this is almost a time where you would rather not go through a Christmas season, and you just would say, God, I need a miracle this morning. I need you to show up and remind me that you have a hope and a future for me. God, show me a miracle. Maybe you need a relationship with God renewed. You need a miracle. So let me say this. Let me ask this rhetorically. Would the infinite God of glory, who in history's greatest miracle became one of us at Bethlehem, and who, as Emmanuel, is the ever-present miracle of God with us, would he still not be working miracles in this day? The answer is yes. The God who showed up at Bethlehem, the God who became man, the God who is with us, is still doing miracles today. What is the miracle that you need this morning? God is still in the miracle-working business. And friends, Christmas is God's continual reminder that miracles still happen. Miracles are still possible. Do you believe that? I hope you do. And if you don't, I believe it for you. I believe that God is going to grant you a miracle even today. I'm praying and I'm hoping for that. You know, I had heard a wonderful story some time ago about a Christmas miracle. A story about a young pastor who was assigned his first pastorate, his first ministry, and his assignment was to go into Brooklyn, New York, and to reopen a rundown, shuttered old church. And so he arrived in early October of that year, and he was excited about the opportunity. And his goal was to have the church completely physically redone and ready in time to have their very first service on Christmas Eve. And he worked very hard. He got to work. He rolled up his sleeves, and he didn't have much help, so he had to do it mostly himself. And he repaired the pews. He plastered the walls. He painted. And he was almost finished. By December 18th, he was almost finished. And then the next day, a huge, driving, unrelenting rainstorm hit the area that lasted for 2 days. He showed back up at the church a couple of days later on December 21st. And when he walked in, his heart just sank because the roof had leaked and it had caused a large piece of plaster behind the pulpit in the front of the sanctuary to fall off, leaving a gaping hole. And his heart just sank and he thought, oh my goodness, we can't have this open. I'm going to have to postpone Christmas Eve service. And so he left the church that day just heartbroken that he couldn't do what his heart desired. He got in the car and he was dejectedly driving home. And he is on the way, he just happened to notice that there was a local business that was having a flea market type sale. And so for some reason, he didn't even know why, he felt compelled to pull in. So he pulled in and he began to look through the items that were for sale. And his eyes were drawn to a beautiful hand-stitched ivory-colored tablecloth with an exquisite cross embroidered right in the center of this very large tablecloth. And he thought, wow. The idea came to him, and he thought, wow, that's perfect in size, and it's perfect in symbolism to cover up the big hole in the front of the church. That's the way it is with a cross, isn't it? It covers up our big mistakes. It really does. So he bought the tablecloth, and he turned the car around, and he went back to the church. And as he was driving back, the driving rain had turned to a driving, blowing snowstorm. It was really coming down. And as he pulled to the church, he noticed there was an elderly woman who was running to catch a bus at the bus stop right in front of the church. And the bus took off before she could get there. He knew that the next bus wasn't for another 45 minutes. And so just out of compassion in his heart, he went up to the old woman, and he said, why don't you come into the church, and you can wait for the next bus. And so she gladly accepted the invitation. She came into the church. And he got out a ladder, and she sat in the pew in the church, and he got out a ladder, and he began to hang the tablecloth as a tapestry, and it covered the hole, it covered the mess perfectly. He got done, and he got off the ladder, and he turned around, and he noticed the old woman walking down the center aisle toward him. Her face was ashen. And she said, "Pastor, where did you get that tablecloth?" He explained how and why he had just bought the tablecloth, and then she asked him, "Would you mind checking to see if there's some initials on the bottom right-hand corner? Look for the initials EBG. And there they were. They were her initials. She had made this tablecloth several decades before in Austria. She explained how during World War II, when the Nazis came, that she was forced to flee. Her husband was to follow her the next week, but unfortunately, she was captured and she was imprisoned in a Nazi concentration camp. And then when she was released, she was never able to get back home. She never saw her home nor her husband again in all of those years. Well, the pastor was moved by the story and he wanted to give the tablecloth back to the woman, but she said, "No, I'm touched by what you're doing with this tablecloth and the purpose it's going to serve, so you keep it." And he said to her, "Well, the least I could do is to give you a ride home." And she accepted. She lived over in Staten Island. She had been in Brooklyn that morning to do a house cleaning job. So he took the elderly woman home to her apartment complex and said goodbye and went back home. And then a couple of more days went by, and it was Christmas Eve, and they were able to have the opening service of the church. And a lot of people came, and the little church was packed, and it was a delightful, inspiring service. After the service was over, people were filing out. The pastor noticed there was one old man who just continued to sit in the pew, and he just stared. Finally, after everybody was out, the old man approached the pastor, and he said, "Where did you get that tablecloth?" "My wife embroidered a tablecloth just like that many decades ago. It was in World War II, and the Nazis invaded, and I asked my wife, you have to leave, and I'll join you, but before I could leave," she left, "before I could leave, I was captured. I was put in prison, and I was kept there, and when I was released, I was never able to go back home, and I've not been home, and I've never seen my wife, not in all of these years, and that tablecloth looks just like her. How could there be two tablecloths in the world identically the same?" The pastor looked at the man and he said, "You know, would you mind taking a ride with me? I have something I want to show you." Well, the old man obliged, and they got in the car and they drove to Staten Island, to the same place where a few days earlier the pastor had taken the old woman up three flights of stairs to her apartment. And they walked up those same stairs, and he knocked on the door, and as the door opened, the pastor witnessed one of the greatest Christmas miracles you could ever imagine. Christmas miracle. Christmas miracles still happen. Maybe not that dramatically all the time, but any kind of miracle is dramatic because it's God breaking through into our finite existence with his infinite love and infinite power and infinite glory. God's love that found a way to penetrate our humanity at Bethlehem. God's love is still working in this world, and his love will always find a way. Christmas miracles still happen. We're going to come to the Lord's table. We're going to receive communion together. I'm going to ask our servers to prepare. And as these elements are brought to you, and again, I'm going to ask you to hold on to the elements, the wine and the bread, until we're all served. And then as a family, we'll partake together. I want you to think about the available miracles of God in this moment for your life. The greatest miracle of all in this amazing miracle story, the greatest miracle of all, is not just that God became man, as amazing as that miracle is, but it's why God became man. And that's what we celebrate in the communion today. Why God became man. You see, this Christmas story continues, and we heard the scripture read in the Advent where the angel came to Joseph, and he said, "You shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." And this Christmas story continued beyond Bethlehem. Christmas story continued as this flesh and blood baby grew up to be a flesh and blood man. And this unique thing about this baby is that he was born not just to live, but the only baby born specifically to die. And on the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread and he blessed it. And he said, "This is my flesh, which is broken just for you." And then he took the wine and he blessed it and he said, "This is my blood, which is shed for you." This flesh and blood Savior said, "Here's my flesh and here's my blood offered for you." And then another Christmas miracle, if you will, happened. God himself in Jesus paid the only price that could be paid to purchase your salvation when his flesh was pierced and his blood was shed to save you from your sins. Christmas is about that amazing, miraculous day when God himself came as a flesh and blood baby so he could give himself as a flesh and blood Savior for you and me. And when you and I experience the miracle of Calvary, then you and I can know the ever-present miracle of Christmas. When you know Calvary, you'll know Christmas. And when you know Christmas, you'll know that miracles are available, not just possible, but available to you right now. Servers, please come. Please hold on to the elements. As you do, I want you to know, you hold in your hand the symbols of the miracle working power of a God who loves you and who is with you in this moment. So receive your miracle as we worship the Lord. Let's worship.
Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. For he alone is worthy.
Just for a moment. Remember when Mary looked at the baby Jesus for the first time? She said, "It's a miracle." Would you look at these and just in your heart say, "Yeah, it's a miracle." Not that these become literally the blood and the body of Jesus. We don't believe that way, but yet these are very powerful, powerful spiritual markers that remind us that, yeah, it's a miracle because Jesus, our Emmanuel, is God with us. And he is with us in this moment. And he wants to transfer the miracle of Bethlehem and the miracle of Calvary into the miracle of this moment for you. Do you need that miracle? Then by faith, would you reach out to God and receive it right now? I want you just to close your eyes just for a moment. There's some people in this room today, I suspect, you have never, ever invited Jesus, God who is with us, into your heart to be your Messiah, your Savior, your Lord. And I want to give you a chance, as you're holding these elements, that you would do that right now. That you would say, "Jesus, I believe that you are real, that you are God, that you're my Savior. I invite you to come into my life, to forgive me of my sins, and to be the leader of my life, the rest of my life, and make me a child of God, and give me the gift of eternal life." If you've never done that, or maybe you did that a long time ago, but you've walked away from that relationship, you've walked away from that commitment, I want to invite you to commit your life or recommit your life to Jesus right now before we receive communion. It's just as simple as you saying, "Jesus, I receive you." Would you do that right now? Now, for those of you who would say, "Pastor Ray, yeah, I need one of those miracles you were talking about. I really do. I need a Christmas miracle. I would like a Christmas miracle." I'm going to ask you, if you would, just with your eyes closed, just to take the bread and just to lift it in your hand right now. Just lift it. "I need a miracle." You're signifying by this act of faith, "God, I need another miracle. I need another miracle in my life." Hallelujah. Now I want you to take that bread, and I want everyone now to lift it, if you would. Just lift the bread to the Lord and say, "Thank you. Thank you for the miracle. Thank you for the ever-present miracle. Thank you for my miracle. In Jesus' name." Let's receive the bread together. Lift the cup and say, "God, thank you for sending your son not only to be born and to live, but to die. You love me so much that he died. He spilled his blood for me. And through his spilled blood, my sins are forgiven and I will be your child forever. I thank you, God, for that great love. And as I receive this, I receive into my body the ever-present, ongoing miracle of God with me." Hallelujah. Let's receive the cup together. Father, thank you for the reminder this morning of what Christmas is all about. That it is a miracle. It is a miracle that not only happened in Bethlehem, but it's the ongoing, ever-present miracle of God, you being with us in Jesus Christ. And thank you, God, for what you've done in this moment for your people. Lord, they've expressed their need of you. By faith, they've reached out to you. Now I pray, work your miracles in their lives. And we will give you the praise and the glory. And we thank you in advance for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to the Portland Christian Center podcast with Ray Noah, lead pastor at the center, teaching on Christmas, It's a Miracle. To help you further, take time to look at the outline available with this podcast. If you live in the Portland area and are looking for a place to connect, you can find out more information about our service times and programs right here on our website at pcctoday.com.